Academy very ornate envelope and I opened it up. And I'm sure you got one, but it was a personal invitation to the the competition for illustrious beards. Did you get one?
Oh, I did. Yeah, the CIB, Competition for Illustrious Beards, yeah.
Yeah.
I never entered into that. I've gotten the invitations before.
Neither have I.
This was the first time I ever considered going.
I know hundreds and thousands of men apply in to be considered. We've never even been considered.
No.
We always get the invite.
Yeah.
It's always an ancient Sanskrit-like lettering. Can never decipher what it says.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. But this year, I think I might go. I think so, you know. Not for me, for my personal glory, but just to really just show the world what a beard should look like.
Have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who has the best beards? Who? Canadians. Quebec.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically Quebec, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Is it because they speak French?
You know, I used to think that had something to do with it, but both the English and the French speakers of Quebec. So I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Maybe it's what they eat. It's a
maybe
lot of maple syrup.
The trapping history.
And do they eat beaver? I don't know what Canadians eat.
Probably.
I bet beaver tastes good.
Yeah.
I've never had it, but you think it's an animal that works. It's essentially the animal kingdom's lumberjack. It's a dangerous job. So they must be like rippling with muscle. Sinew.
I wonder if they taste different depending on what kinds of trees they chew down.
The more, and I keep going back to The Revenant. Like there are scenes where raw meat is eaten. I wonder if that tastes good. It must.
It has to be satisfying to some level.
Right. You yourself having some odd unquenching thirst for blood.
Yeah, I've been cooking my meat less and less.
Yeah.
I mean, just throw it on the pan, throw it on a hot pan and pull it right off, really.
Technically, you don't even need to cook beef. It's the safest meat to eat uncooked.
Mm-hmm.
All other meats, you get these scares of salmonella.
Parasites.
With chicken and parasites.
Yeah.
Most salmonella deaths are from hunters that don't cook like game birds after they've cooked them. After they think they've cooked them. So, welcome back to Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting.
Welcome back.
I'm Dylan.
And I'm Dutch.
Tonight, we are going to continue our journey into the Mine of Dreams. Brian. You were attacked by a viper.
I was.
Bats.
Bats.
You summoned one bat by grabbing it out of the air and forcing it to suck the blood out of your body.
Yep.
And more bats came and
yep.
I think cleansed you of the poison.
Absolutely. You know, it was one of those times when I was realizing, hey, you know, if I don't do something about this poison, I might actually die. And that was one of the first times I ever felt like I might actually die. I mean, all the crazy stuff we've done.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do about poison? I don't know.
Poison's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one. I mean, you can't beat up poison.
Sharks, bears, mountain lions, the weather, that tribe.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, we could go on forever. When we did whale fighting in the Caribbean, and you never thought that it would just be some highly poisonous snake that bit you that would kill you.
Yeah, freak accident. But the bats, they came, and they really kind of saved my bacon.
I almost wanted to call you Batman.
Yeah. I was feeling like I could fly for a minute, even though Batman can't fly.
Have we ever discussed Batman?
I don't think we have.
Can we stop for a second? Where do you, either you like him or you don't like him?
I like Batman.
You like Batman.
I love Batman.
To me, and we're going to agree to disagree, all Batman is to me is like a rich kid that knows karate. And decided to use his money in the most awesome way possible.
Yeah.
I love the Joker. I love the Joker. Pointless in his, I mean, not pointless, but just, we don't know what drives him. Completely unpredictable. So, that being said, I'm glad we got that out of the way. It's important to talk about that. I would say a week later, you and I are just traversing this series of interconnected tunnels. What you listeners don't understand is some of the tunnels were really hard to scrape through. But the point is to continue on and eventually find a way out.
Yeah. And we just kept going deeper and deeper.
A week later, I would say 20 miles from where the jumping vipers attacked.
About?
We hit another snag to our journey. That is the underground mighty scorpion band.
Albino scorpions.
It was as if... and we saw one. One was crawling on your back. I took my knife out. I said, hey, Dutch, look over there. Put the knife on your shoulder. You're like, what? And then so the scorpion flailing on the knife. Almost exactly like the movie Predator. I was going for that.
You know that I totally wasn't even thinking about that at the time. But now that you mention it,
technically, the albino... the mighty albino scorpion. One bite, and you'll be dead within half of a heartbeat. So it's safe to say the poison is mildly potent.
You know, interesting thing about scorpions and their stinger is the scorpions are the only arachnid, insect, what have you, that have a true, actual stinger. Every other insect that has a stinger, like a bee or hornet or anything like that, it's actually a modified ovipositor, which is just a fancy word for saying it's where they lay eggs, but now they shoot, you know, poison.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But scorpion, the stinger, it's not anything except for a stinger.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You learn something new every day.
They're pretty bad.
In Northern America, scorpions really aren't poisonous at all. They might sting you and it's going to hurt. It's the scorpions in Southeast Asia, in Asia, Africa, and South America that are going to kill you. And Central America, which is where we were.
You know how you find scorpions?
Please tell.
Blacklight.
Blacklight.
Blacklight. Okay. They're nocturnal. They come out at night. You hold a blacklight up and they'll glow underneath the blacklight.
I did not know that too. Yep. All this information I'm learning.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, and we spent 19 months together in a mine. So, we see one, and then we think, okay, that's just one. Well, if you've read your nature books, you see one white albino scorpion. There's a billion, pretty close. I look up, and you're talking to me, and I move your head so you could see what I was looking at. And our jaws dropped. It looked like an ocean of white coming towards us. Can you explain the next thing we did?
Well, I mean, the thing that caught me, and again, we're mostly using echolocation. At points, there's some bioluminescence going on down in the caves. Glowworms, bacteria, that are actually providing some light at this point. Probably brand new species that no one's discovered yet.
We'll have to go back and bring it back.
Yeah, definitely. So, but even though there was a little bit of light to see, the thing I noticed first was the sound. This scuttling.
I don't like that sound. That's not a sound I really like. Yeah. And it was, if I was to listen to it now, I'd be like, oh, that's an interesting sound. But then, I think that's the first time, while in this cave, that I had abject terror. Because I knew what had to happen. Here's the weird thing that happened, though. I never thought this could happen at all. As essentially a billion, maybe, I don't know, more or less, this it was about 40 feet wide by about 100 feet long.
This ocean of scorpions.
Right.
Yeah.
They come within about 40 yards of us, and it starts moving. I couldn't believe it. It was merging into one enormous scorpion. What were you thinking?
You know my first thought?
Yeah, no, what?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie.
when they face a giant scorpion.
I forgot. Did they really?
They did, yeah.
I forgot that scene.
Yeah, they face a giant scorpion, and, you know, as terrified as I was, my first thought goes back to this childhood movie, you know, that I'd seen, and I mean, that was a pretty scary scene.
Yeah.
You know, you're shrunken down, and there's this giant scorpion, but that's immediately what I thought of.
The first thing I thought of was, did I pay my life insurance deductibles?
Mm.
Because I thought, I'm not getting out of this.
Hmm.
But at the same time, I felt elation and joy, knowing that a battle was about to start.
An epic battle, at that.
Yeah. I thought, what better way to, what would be a better, obituary, and then being killed by a monster scorpion,
made up of
other
countless
scorpions.
Other scorpions. Yeah. And here's the thing about fighting a monster scorpion like that: it doesn't have a heart that you can pierce and
no.
kill it. It doesn't have a brain. If you, you know, pierce it and in its side, all you're doing is just killing a few scorpions.
You're just making them mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I remember, and correct me if I get it a little wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It forms up. Its tail is getting ready to strike.
Mm-hmm.
You push me out of the way, and it strikes at you. You grab its tail,
mm-hmm.
or the, what do we call it?
Yeah.
You grab its tail, and you throw it down. And what's interesting is these scorpions really kept it to their act, in that when you threw it down, it didn't just go through it, it actually fell down.
Yeah. It's not like it just broke apart. And,
no, it didn't.
And, you know, scattered into all the, you know,
I really think
scorpions.
You saved my life. I was just a little fraction too slow. I get back up. I do a rolling backflip to get back up, of course. And I have the throwing knives out, and I'm thinking, where am I going to throw them at?
Yeah, where do you hit this thing?
How many times have we read and written survival books? I mean,
oh.
We have volumes. Go to any Barnes & Noble, Dylan and Dutch, you're going to find volumes of survival books. We have never touched on the giant Voltron-esque scorpion.
Yeah. I think we realized right away we weren't going to beat it with throwing knives. We weren't going to beat it with spears or clubs.
You're just going to make it mad. And there's no
bludgeon it.
And there's no main leader to kill, like the jumping vipers. Scorpions have no honor, even though vipers do.
Hmm.
So what are we going to do?
That's when I remembered something else. Something that we had found.
Thank God.
In the archives in the Nicaraguan library.
Yeah.
We were picking up old books, going through. We were into some really, really old tomes. And I pull one book out.
That was the one with the scorpion emblazoned on it.
It had the scorpion on it.
Yeah.
And I open it up, and it's a false, it's one of those false books. It has a
yeah.
It has a pocket in the middle.
I was there, it was great.
I opened up the book.
I'm glad you're remembering this.
And inside was a bottle.
Yeah.
It was probably a 1 liter bottle.
Sure.
It was some kind of glass. It wasn't transparent, you couldn't see through it.
It was opaque, but it was obviously ancient.
Ancient, and there was liquid inside. And so it had a wax seal on the top.
Yeah, that's a weird stamp on it. I can never decipher what that stamp meant.
Yeah, it did have some etching on it that did last, but could not. It was some ancient language.
My ancient lexicon for transcribing languages was a little rusty, but I did see a symbol for a sorcerer on it.
Yeah, so I remember that, and I looked to you, and I started rifling through my bag, and the scorpion had, at this point, it had gotten back up, and it was charging me, and it grabs me with one of its claws.
Yeah.
And I grab the bottle out of the bag, and I toss it to you.
Yeah. I catch it without looking. I knew exactly what you were going to do.
Well, the echolocation, and yeah,
right.
I mean, it's and just instinct.
Yeah.
We know what we're going to do.
Sure.
You grab the bottle, and then what happens? I'm flailing.
Yeah.
In its grip. It's strong. I mean,
sure
for all the scorpions.
The only thing I knew to do is I opened up the bottle, I took a drink, and I didn't drink it, but We had torches. I threw you one.
Mm-hmm.
I took a drink. I threw you the bottle. You knew exactly what was going on.
Yep.
It grabs me. I mean, it's really fast.
Yeah. Amazingly
it's not slow fast. Like a mountain lion.
No.
We both take huge drinks of this, and I've never had that taste. It tastes like a weird cinnamon concoction.
Mm.
Almost like spice from the planet Arrakis. And I take a huge deep breath, and I blow out, and it's obviously flammable. And it hits the scorpion. The thing catches on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Claws immediately drop us. We both do backflips. I didn't even know you knew how to do a backflip.
Yeah.
We get back on the ground. Arms ready for the next pass. The thing crumbles.
Yeah.
And we didn't kill all of them, but they skittered really far away from us. The fire scared them.
Yeah, it was as if they recognized this, like it had happened before.
Almost like a mystical power.
Yeah.
Miraculously, the scorpions didn't. They could have. The little ones could have easily bit us and killed us.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind as we're doing the backflips?
We backflip out, and yeah, the little ones, you're right. I mean, if any one of those scorpions had stung us, we would have been probably dead within,
yeah,
you know, a few minutes. I mean, a normal person probably like 10 seconds, but it would have taken
us a little while. Well, we know how to control our blood pressure, yeah, and we know how to attack certain infections in our bodies. That's why we stayed alive in the cave for so long.
And, you know, we talked about how scorpions have no honor, and I was actually, it was going through my head, why did it not just sting us? Why did it build up into this Voltron-esque
Yeah, do you want to know
mega
why?
Scorpion? Yeah.
I was being prejudiced against scorpions, and I'm really ashamed of myself for that. Looking back now, I realize that I got no place for hate, and I was hating on them, and there's no room for racism. There's no room for prejudice. And what I was being is I was being prejudiced towards the arachnid species. When you consider the binomial nomenclature, I think the arachnids get the worst of it.
Mm.
And people don't realize that. You're prejudiced towards spiders and other arachnids. How about you go a day without spiders and try and get to your car? Because you're going to be enveloped by flying insects, mosquitoes, malaria is going to come back to the States, and people need to be more appreciative of the arachnid. Is it species? Or is it...
No, the species would
kingdom,
be
kingdom, phylum, family, class.
Genus? Is it a genus?
Kingdom?
Order?
I think it's a genus. The arachnid genus.
We'll find out. We'll let you know next episode.
So...
Brush up on our... taxonomy.
Whenever I see a spider, I let it go. Unless it's in my house, then I kill it viciously.
Mm.
But
see, that's the difference. And when I find spiders in my house, I give them a nod, a knowing
sure.
nod. And, you know,
okay, get it done.
Yeah, like, hey, keep the bugs out, you can live here. Because I figure if there's no bugs, they're not going to live there.
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe I should rethink my thinking.
Unless
I,
they're
you
in
know,
my kid's room. If they're in my kid's room.
Arachnids have gone so far in the last 1,000 years. And I think if we need to really highlight their plight and let the whole public know, they really shouldn't be prejudiced against anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that. I apologize. And to the listeners, I hate spiders. I still do. And I'm trying not to. But they showed me something. They showed me, should I call it love?
Hmm. Definitely a respect.
Can insects feel love?
Gosh, that's a deep question. I don't know.
When we were giving the talks at CERN in Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
we were talking about the smallest of small particles, and we were talking about how it is possible using magnets to achieve a speed greater than the speed of light. One thing I don't take into consideration is my unquenching hatred of spiders. And it does something to your brain. And you have to realize that animals, they're not people. And insects are less than animals. But they can still give respect.
Mm-hmm. They're necessary.
So they skitter off. And while in the National Archives, we realize this isn't the last battle.
Mm-hmm.
We're working up to something.
Yeah. From some of the things that we were reading, it sounded like, and we recognize that this battle with the scorpions, it was more like they were more like a doorkeeper almost.
Right.
Something else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because after that happened, we did see like a weird door in the distance, miles away. It seemed almost like glowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a strange light coming from it.
Before we did that, you said, George, get your sewing kit. Because we both had sewing kits.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to use the scorpion shells as armor.
Mm-hmm.
About a decade ago, we went to England to give a talk on how to create chainmail using biological material.
Mm-hmm.
Clam shells, oyster shells, regular chainmail. You were a blacksmith for a summer in college?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we know how to create armor. So you do. I kind of don't. And so for the next 4 weeks, we were sitting there peeling back the flesh of these scorpions, making sure we don't get any poison on us,
mm-hmm.
and fashioning this chainmail using the scorpion shell.
Yeah. In fact, when we eventually came back out of the cave, we donated them to the Nicaraguan National History Museum.
Yeah, and it's gone missing. You know that?
No.
You didn't see the news report on CNN?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it went missing.
Huh.
That's another story.
You know, I'll bet the president has something to do with that.
Maybe. He's a good guy. We'll have to talk to him. I can't call him on a secure line here. So when we're at international waters,
yeah.
We'll send a sat link to our... anyways.
We should surprise him on his yacht. That's what we should do.
Remember that time we paraglided not his yacht, but the Vice Chancellor of Austria?
Yes, yes. Oh, man. That was great.
I mean, that was a big yacht, so it was actually pretty easy. But so we fashioned, and might I just add, we looked like samurai in a way.
I'm not gonna lie.
Pretty scary.
I felt pretty cool,
and
intimidating in that armor. I thought it was great.
We found a couple bear skulls.
The cave bears.
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't kill any cave bears, but we put the scorpion the shells on that as well, and we wore those as helmets.
Yeah.
We looked pretty good, and for Halloween, we may just do that.
That's not a bad idea.
I think listeners, whoever draws us the best picture of this, sends it to dylanandutch@gmail.com. We'll give you a prize. We'll send you some things, headshots, Christmas cards. We'll send you something signed. It's worth about a few $100, so get to work. So we're done making this armor. Now, it took 4 weeks at least.
Mm-hmm.
You have the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Death of fire. I have Bowie knives and regular knives. What I didn't mention to you is, I didn't mention this, listeners, is I had a sword myself.
Mm.
It was a, what do they call it? It's a Scottish...
Claymore?
Claymore. A little bit smaller, because I'm 5'7". A little bit, not a regular claymore, but a little bit smaller. I had been sharpening it this entire time. And I put it on my back, flopping around. Just so people know, we both have swords. Yours is far more badass. If I could say that. I could edit that out. Shouldn't be saying that's terrible language. So, about 2 or 3 miles up ahead, we enter this... Can you describe it?
The door? You know, when you read stories, you know, like Tolkien, and they describe doors, these great epic doors. Usually there's all these inscriptions on them, and they're very ornate.
Usually completely BS.
Yeah. It was almost unrecognizable as a door, but you could see the seams around it.
Right.
And on the outside of the door, there was no writing. It was glowing. Really, what it looked like were these enormous claw marks just going diagonally right down the whole face of the door.
Enormous claw marks.
Enormous.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, we gotta go in there.
We had to. We couldn't go back.
We're not going back. No. We're always pushing forward.
We could feel a draft coming out of the door. It was hot.
Yeah.
Extremely hot air. And there was a smell, too.
Yeah, and the smell got even worse as we entered. Mm-hmm. We go in. You went first. Mm-hmm. A little bit braver than me.
I had the sword, too. I had the...
We work ourselves in, and there's this... It's almost a huge chamber. Mm-hmm. We fall down, because it's kind of a hilly down.
Yeah.
Fall down into
very
it.
Very steep.
And there's, like, this... It almost felt like we were outdoors. It's so enormous.
Yeah, I mean, even with our echolocation, and there was a light in the chamber. There was a glow.
I still don't know where it was coming from.
Yeah,
it was
kind of all
I didn't
around.
Know at the time.
That's true.
The smell, this putrid smell, was coming from outside the door. It increased by a factor of 10 when we got inside and fell down into the valley.
How would you describe that smell?
I could only describe it as rotting flesh. Mm. And maybe a little bit of throw up. And just the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life.
A little bit of sulfur. Brimstone.
A lot of sulfur.
Yeah.
Never smelled brimstone, but I bet that would be... And like an irony smell, almost like blood.
Yeah, like that taste that you get in your mouth when you're bleeding or just drinking blood.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
So, we're there, and in situations like this, because we've gone in situations like this, well, not like this, but we knew the danger was imminent, we're back to back.
Yeah, even with the vipers, with the scorpions, with the cave bears, you know, we thought, and there was a little bit of terror associated with those, but that was more of a, you know, a healthy terror, like a stress response.
Right.
That keeps you alive. This was different. This was almost a soul terror.
Yeah. A lot of dead air there, so I'm trying to think how to describe this. And we're not going to be able to do it justice.
No, it'd be impossible.
We start hearing a distant thump. What scared me was, it was getting louder, and I was hearing what sounded like a bat near my ear, like a flapping, like the... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you hear a bat. And I looked around, there's no bat. And using our echolocation, nothing around for about a few hundred yards. Can you describe to the listeners, and we're just about to end on this, but if we could describe to the listeners what appeared and in what way.
We were finally able to get a general location on where the sound was coming from.
Yeah.
And we're still back-to-back, but now we were both looking at that direction, and it was actually right above us. We look up, and all we see is this... It's like this smoke, this haze... On the ceiling of this huge, huge chamber. It's so far up.
Was it like swirling or what was it doing? Is it going back and forth?
It was. I mean, there was a lot of movement, in the smoke. And we keep hearing the thumping, and then that flapping sound that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And with that, too, it was like there were all of these muffled screams and cries of agony all around us, too, that those came from just nowhere. It was like they were
unearthly.
In the air.
Yeah, unearthly.
Unearthly. Yeah. And out of the smoke flies this beast.
Inhuman. I mean, human-esque. At least 20 feet tall. At least. Would I say it was 30?
The archives told us of something like this.
Yeah.
Being down there. A beast of flame and shadow.
And you could only learn so much from reading. Dylan and Dutch are doers. So we're standing there, awestruck. Awestruck.
You had, yeah.
It finally flitters down. Stands about 20 yards from us. We're looking up. Our necks are hurting by looking up.
Mm-hmm.
The smell is worse. Smoke is all around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's carrying some type of ancient weapon. We'll describe in the next episode. And it looked like it was emblazoned with chains and adorned with some oddly crown. I don't know what it is.
Like it had been imprisoned, but had
right. Somehow escaped. It broken out. It said something in Latin. You know, I taught Latin in Greece for a couple summers during my college years. Mm-hmm. So I picked it up when I was five. But this was a Latin I'd never heard. But I kind of could grasp it. Pretty much opened its mouth, and there it looked like a spiraling fire in its mouth.
Hmm.
And it said, in so many, I'm paraphrasing, trespassers, meet your destiny. Should we pause on that?
Yeah. I'm gonna need to pause on that.
Yeah. Let's take a step back. What was the most important thing when fighting the scorpion? Let's talk about the equipment.
You want to go first on this one?
Yeah. I have been neglecting my nails for months that we were in the cave. Luckily, I found my nail file, and I filed my nails down. Got my cuticles down. Looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's probably the most important. Because hangnails are painful.
Oh, yeah. They'll ruin everything.
I put a polish on it, but it's like a vitamin polish.
Yeah.
It's nothing fancy.
Yeah.
That's probably the most important. The nail file is pretty good. You?
That's really good. I never really thought about that. For me, it was just the whiskey that I brought with me, really. I mean, it sustained me. It nourished me. It relaxed me.
I took a few swigs.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
We weren't drunk.
No.
That would be
just irresponsible and reckless.
It's actually a sin, too.
Yeah.
Don't be a drunkard.
Yeah.
A sluggard, which we're not.
You don't want to fight a Voltron-esque scorpion drunk.
No. No. We wouldn't be here podcasting if we were drunk.
I think they would have if we had shown up like that. They would have just come up and stung us.
Yeah. Like, we're not. We don't respect you.
Who are you? Get out of here.
Yeah. It's been a great episode of Dylan and Dutch.
Oh, man. Intense. I can't wait to find out what happens next.
Same here. Do you have a quote you want to share with our listeners? I last time, I gave a pretty, pretty smooth quote.
Yeah.
So yeah, the bar is set pretty high.
This is a quote from Frederick Douglass, actually. And, little known fact about Frederick Douglass, he was a prospector.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, little known fact. He dabbled in it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he's mostly known for other things.
I don't know what. Yeah. He was abolitionist?
He was a writer, yeah. But, I mean, I mostly know him for, of course, prospecting. And here it is. He said, he was giving a speech.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, polish your nuggets until they shine. But beware of the face looking back at you. Dylan and Dutch,
out.